Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a fantastic day, at least for me, here in Lancaster, California, Greater Works Christian Church, greatest church on the planet. And I have to apologize to Apostle Rion, who is with me from all the way from South Africa, ladies and gentlemen. He has the second greatest church in the world, his church. Okay. I can take it. I can do it. We both have the greatest churches in the world, all right?
So it's a tie.
It's a tie.
Hallelujah.
Rion, greet everybody, because I know a lot of people know you, but then a lot of people that listen don't yet know you, so.
Thank you, yeah. Good day. It's wonderful to be with you all. It's actually, it's been, I don't know, how long has it been? Like 3 months, 4 months? I can't remember. Maybe even longer.
Well, since you were here last time?
Yeah, since we did the last recording together.
Oh, it's been a while. Yeah,
okay.
It's been a while.
But yeah, thank you for having me back. It's great to be back. And I'm just praying that the audience that listens will really enjoy what God wants to pour out this morning. So yeah, thank you for having me.
They're going to love you. They put up with me.
Wow, that's good. That's good, yeah. Yeah, as far as the tie, I'll let you slide. It's okay.
But in all seriousness, ladies and gentlemen, Rion Delanga from South Africa. He has a phenomenal church, his church. And even beyond the church in a local setting, we've been all over the world together. We've been China, Mexico, of course, South Africa, here in the United States, different parts of the States.
Yeah, Japan. Japan. We've done Japan,
I can't forget Japan. And we have nothing yet in stone. However, we have, because we'll talk about it in a minute, but we had some things that we had to mop up here at home. So I put everything on hold. I can tell you. We were trying to sell our old church building, and we were having a tough time selling it, which was totally weird. But it finally sold. It's finalized. It's off our shoulders. And now we can get back to the business of doing what God has called us. So we're already planning several trips to Mexico, certainly South Africa, possibly, well, other places. So many, many places there. And we're praying. And please pray with us, ladies and gentlemen, that China opens up for us again, for everybody. Because there's a powerful work that God still wants to do in China as well. But yeah, we're going to be all over the place.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's such a privilege to be actually, call it God's missionaries. Not in the traditional sense, but being sent by God and being able to travel around the world and just be that voice. And kind of like, if I can say, our little niche in the market is not really as such evangelism, getting people on the street corner, but it's more getting the network ready and getting the baseline ready of that the leadership know, you know, God is with them and just having a clear look at what are they doing, because what we found is that many times you will come to a church, pastor has been laboring for years and months and sometimes they're just a little discouraged. Sometimes they just need a little thank you. So you might have just heard a little sound popping right next to me. So this is an unofficial advertisement this morning. So those of you who do not know, both myself and Apostle Robert Enos, we actually have a little bit of a thing for root beer. And we were at what store we were at, sir? I can't remember what store it is.
It was a Rocket Fizz.
A Rocket Fizz. And they had like line upon line upon line of root beer. And so I grabbed one, and he grabbed one, and so we're going to have to taste this and see if this is any good.
Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, what this is it's a root beer, but it's called Brownie Caramel Cream Root Beer from the Orca Beverage Company. Now, we've never had this before. At least I never had this before. So we wanted to drink this because, like he said, we both love root beer. And we wanted to give it, come on the air, come on this podcast, and give you the taste test. And I could see he's over there drinking it, so he must like it already.
It is actually very good.
Wait a minute. I got to give my
approval. Just give it a taste there, yeah. It is really good. I know we kind of like favor Virgil's, to be honest.
Yeah.
But this is really good.
That is really good. It's unique. It's brownie caramel cream. I can taste the caramel cream in it. And ladies and gentlemen, on a scale of One to ten. I'm going to give this a solid 8 for me. How about you? 1 to 10, what do you got?
Well, I would probably give a little higher. Obviously, I've got nothing to relate it with as far as like normal root beer that tastes a little bit different. But for what they aim at for a caramel root beer, I think they did a phenomenal job. Yeah, I'll give them an 8 and a half. Let me give them a 9.
So you got an 8 and a 9. And yeah, you know, it is pretty good because it's unique. It's still root beer, but it's unique. It's got that caramel cream, and it says brownie, but I don't know if that's just the name, but it's because it says brownie, caramel cream, root beer. So nonetheless, it is really good. So yeah, I would bump it up to a 9. Now me, I'm biased in the sense of Virgil's. Virgil's is another brand of root beer. I just love Virgil's.
Yeah,
so
they're very good.
I will give Virgil's at least a 9, maybe a 9.5 for me. But
yeah, I think, you know, honestly, it's two separate types of root beer. You know, it's you can't really put them in the same category. But this nice and smooth. I like the smooth about it. It's really good.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever had a Rocket Fizz and you want a good root beer, you can always get Virgil's. Virgil's is very good. But if you want something kind of unique, brownie, caramel cream root beer from the Orca Beverage Company. Orca, you did great in creating this brownie caramel cream root beer. It's phenomenal. It's delicious. And we had another one the other day. What was that? Butterscotch? Was it butterscotch?
It was a butterscotch.
Yeah, butterscotch
root beer. It was good, but this is better.
Yeah, I think this is better too. So that's our taste test, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's the very first that we have ever done that on Table Flippers, but there you go. A solid 9 from both of us for brownie caramel cream root beer. And Orca, you did great. Now, let's get back to this.
Exactly.
It's funny. I came across a scripture the other day, yesterday actually. I knew it was in the Word of God, so I had to look it up. And it tells me that I have to retire.
Wow.
It does.
Wow. Let's hear it.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 8. Verse 24 says, this is what pertains to the Levites. At the age of 25 years and upward, one may begin to join the company and work of the tent of meeting. Mm-hmm. And at the age of 50 years, they must retire from performing the work and may no longer work.
Wow.
I'm 7 years overdue. That's it. I retire.
Wow. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was for the tabernacle before the temple was established, the tabernacle, and that was for the Levites and the priests and such. So
I just wanted to say, you know, you realize they were speaking about physical labor, you know, not really as such performing the service of the priests, but the guys working, carrying, like full-on physical labor. So
thanks a lot, Rian. You just messed up my retirement plan.
Yeah. But hey, if you want to go swing the pickaxe all day, you know, just go for it.
No, I don't. So I'll retire from the physical stuff. Well, Rian, you've been here actually a week today, I believe. A week today?
Yes.
Yeah, a week today.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you pretty much landed about a half hour ago, one week ago. So
yeah,
been here almost a full exact week so far.
And kind of like over the whole jet lag, and I'm starting to get my American feud on, and it's good.
And then you'll go home.
And then I'll go.
And start all over. But, and as you know, and I don't want to get into all the detail of it because as far as I'm concerned, we're on the other side of it and we're moving away from it.
Sure.
And I don't want to look back.
Sure.
But you know, you're aware, and ladies and gentlemen, I didn't talk too much about it in our other podcasts, but the church went through a somewhat major issue and problem, but we came through it. Mm-hmm. And with the selling of that building was the final, what do you want to call it, the final deal in all of this mess that we had to deal with, and it's done. So we're clearly on the other side and moving away from it. However, at the same time, not that I want to dwell on the issues and the problems at all, but at the same time, now it's like a complete clean slate for us as a church.
Sure.
Complete clean slate. So what do you see, or what do you have prophetically, or what you see? I know we've already been talking, but we haven't been talking on a podcast. So what do you see that you can, like, boom, this is where GWCC is going, or what you envision, what you see and such?
Yeah, well, thank you for such a loaded question.
That's payback. Ladies and gentlemen, on Sunday, he kept bringing things up that were like hot button topics, and then he would stop and say, you get to sort that one out, and then he would move on.
Exactly.
You get to sort that one out, too. Oh, you get to sort that out. Oh, you get to teach on that. Oh, you get to... And I'm like, I have so much work now. That's why this scripture spoke to me.
Yeah, oh, you need to... I get you. Okay. I get you. Yeah, you got me good. All right, let me rephrase a little bit and backtrack. As far as what recently happened, and again, going back to the sale of the building, and I would say the sign thereof, I think there was quite a bit of a controversialness about the sign, like the, not just the signature sign, like you've got to sign off the building and sell it, but more the sign of what it means, what it entails, and what it speaks of prophetically. Because sometimes God speaks in signs and wonders.
Yeah.
And they are not it, really. It's not really the... I have arrived at the sign. It's like when we're traveling to, where did we go to? Ventura?
Oh, yeah,
I think the other day. We went to Ventura Beach Harbor. Fantastic place, by the way. Highly recommend it. But, you know, you see the signage, oh, Ventura, maybe 10 miles.
Right.
When you see the sign, that is not it. It's not the actual place yet.
Right.
You know, there's a little bit of, call it then transition that needs to take place.
Yeah.
And for you guys... Obviously, you've been now in transition with the selling off of the old building, getting the new building. And having said that, you know, little sidetrack note, I find it fascinating the parallels between us with you guys and South Africa, as we even ourselves are in the midst of purchasing a new building.
Right.
And it's just phenomenal. It always blows my mind to see how God runs these things in his own way. But back to the sign. And I'm going to read a scripture. Let me go back to that. So I want to read a scripture in Isaiah. It's going to be chapter 7. And this is basically the story of King Ahaz that was surrounded by all the Syrians. And he became so fearful because he was literally outnumbered, probably like something like 10 to 1.
Yeah.
And then the prophet Isaiah came and actually went out to meet him. And I'm just going to quote like verse 4 and maybe verse 6 a little bit. And he says, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, do not let your heart be faint. And then he says that these guys will basically be removed. They are like just, you know, smoke stumps.
Yeah.
Meaning there's nothing in them. And then he goes on to verse 10. And then again the Lord spoke to us. And says, ask a sign of your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as the heavens. And, you know, if I was this king, I probably would have said the same. Like, no, I don't want to put the Lord to the test. I don't want to ask him for a sign.
Right.
But if you listen to the tone in which God answered, it was almost like God wanted to reveal a sign.
Yeah.
And he goes like, but, you know, why are you wrestling with man and with God? And then verse 14, he says, therefore the Lord himself will give a sign. So, and I'm going to just read a little bit about what is this sign. He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And then he carries on and on and on, and he speaks about all these things, and, you know, that they will be removed. And then at the end of the, kind of like this prophecy, he's speaking about the Assyria that is coming. And if you keep going and you go down to chapter 8, chapter 9, it actually speaks about that the Assyrians will be in the land when this child is old enough to know good from evil. And obviously we know who is this child. Let's just baseline, right. Get the baseline right. Who is this child that is our prophesied? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, yeah. He's the only person that has ever been born from a virgin.
Right.
And so God wanted to reveal that form of prophecy to the reveal Christ unto us. But if you continue the words of prophecy that there is, and you go back to the historic nature, when Jesus was old enough to discern good from evil, he was surrounded by Romans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not Assyrians.
Yeah.
And I'm not discrediting the word. I want us to kind of like unpack it a little bit and just understand what is this about. And these kings that he was speaking about, they were annihilated, I don't know how many years before the Lord. But he says, by the time this child knows, they will be annihilated. And again, you know, the word of prophecy, And you can correct me, sir. I think this prophecy was almost give and take 400 years before the birthing of Christ.
Yeah, something like that.
So people get hang up about timing of things, time, like, oh, you know, this guy gave a prophecy this and got prophecy that. And they say that an average prophecy takes about 12 years before it comes to pass.
Right.
Which is pretty long time, if you ask me, for something like that. But back to the sign. So here is God giving a sign, a child shall be born, and he explains the sign to them, and he mentions the Assyrians, mm-hmm. which in the birthing of Christ, it wasn't Assyrians, it was the Romans.
Right.
But we need to just understand that from a prophetic perspective, one prophesies according to one's faith. So, and I'm not saying, you know, you have this high level of faith or low level of faith. I want to kind of like rephrase those words and say, one prophesy according to what you think is possible. What your mind actually allows you to say, oh, this can be done. And in the timeline of Isaiah, there were no Romans yet born that they knew of. So he knew of a foreign enemy. He knew them to be the Assyrians. He knew them to be of a great power. He knew them. So in his translation of the expression of God, when God said, listen, I'm going to bring an outside force, he had to tie it to something tangible for the people to understand that they know exactly this is what it is. And that is why he used the name the Assyrians, because in that time, everybody feared the Assyrians. They knew if they show up, there will be trouble. So we need what is the word I'm looking for? When we get personal prophecy, there's a reason why you have to bring it before the Lord and pray before the Lord about it. I'm thinking of myself. I was a young man, probably about 18, maybe 19. We had a prophet that came to town and prophesied a wonderful prophecy to me. And basically said that I would become a revivalist and that I would go to Bronzeville Revival and that I would pick up the spirit of revival and I will bring it back to my hometown and we will stir revival. Right. Wonderful. Hallelujah. The trouble with that is that by the time I was in a place to start traveling, Bronzeville Revival was dead and gone. There was nothing. And I did travel. I actually went to the UK and I was in United Kingdom for 2 years. And went back home to my home church, and I stirred a revival in my church. Mm-hmm. But it was different. It wasn't a Bronzeville revival. It was a Passover revival, and it caused a great influx in the understanding of Passover in our midst. And I ran with that for probably a good 12 years.
Yeah.
So this prophet prophesied accurately, but in his expression, he tied it down to something that was relevant to him, for him to understand, and relevant for our time for us to understand.
Yeah.
So does that mean it was a false prophet? By no means. Absolutely not.
No.
It just means that in our expression as prophets and prophetic people, sometimes we say something to bring something across, but we need to understand it's part of the sign. It's part of that this is it, but it's not it. It is to direct you in a specific kind of like focus, mindset. I want to get you there. Follow right. this. Follow these signs. It will get you there.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. You said that about the Syrians and such, so I was curious. At one point, Assyria was under Roman occupation, and it was tied to the Roman Empire.
Wonderful. That is powerful.
So through that Roman Empire, the Syrians were in the land.
Wow. Listen to that.
God doesn't miss anything.
No, he doesn't.
But the point is made that exactly. It may not look the way we think yes. It should look.
It's our mindset.
But it's
wrong.
it's never off. If it's a true word of the Lord, it's never sure. off on God's part. And,
absolutely.
And we have to, as it were, catch up mm-hmm. to him, not the other way. And that's what I think is interesting about prophecy. Prophecy is, the prophet gives a prophecy to another, say, person, or it could be a nation, but say that a person. It's not unique to even the prophet. It's unique to the person receiving it.
Sure.
Because, you know, the prophet is just the voice of God for that moment, and he moves on. Exactly. It's like if I give a prophetic word to it, rarely do I even remember that word. Somebody will come up to me a year later, oh, you remember when you prophesied X, Y, Z?
No idea.
No, I don't. And I've had people get mad at me. Well, you should remember these things. It's like, it's not for me. If yeah. I'm giving it to you, it's for you. You should remember them. And anyway, so I find that interesting because that just, when you said that, it sparked me. So I popped in. I have my iPad open, ladies and gentlemen. So I just did a real quick Google search. And lo and behold, there it is. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at a map right now. Tyre, Judah, Israel, Assyria, Babylon, all part of that.
Old Roman Empire.
Roman Empire and Roman even beyond the quote-unquote empire boundaries, the influence was also there. Awesome. But it was at one point part of that.
Excellent.
So truly, the Assyrians were in the land.
Yeah.
They just didn't look like Assyrians.
Exactly. And I so like that you could actually prove it as well, historically, because sometimes you will receive a word like, this is the sign.
Right.
And we get hanged up on the sign, but we misinterpret what the sign means.
Exactly.
Like I walk up to the sign that says Ventura, and I'm like, hey, this is Ventura. No, it's not. You know,
right.
You still got to go a while.
Yeah, that's just the sign.
That's just the sign. So I'm saying all of this to come kind of like full circle to my expression that I felt for you guys, even way back when we sent the word, that the selling of the building would be a sign that God has cleansed the land, taken away things that shouldn't be. But at the same time, it is pointing towards another thing, another prophetic thing of promised land, meaning that there is, in the analogy of Joshua crossing over and going into the promised land.
Yeah.
And I think we get hanged up in these analogies because if we read it, they crossed over and they had Passover. And we wanted to bind it down to, oh, it's got to be Passover because it's Passover. But nowhere in the prophetic word did I ever say it's going to be the Passover.
Right. Exactly.
Because many people, I mean, I literally had a Passover event a week ago. I got in a plane, I passed over the ocean, and I got you.
Yeah.
So sometimes we need to just revisit what does the Lord mean by you're going to pass over.
Right.
And for you guys, yes, you had a Passover event. You passed over a whole bunch of things that I don't wish for other people to go through.
Right.
But you passed over, and now you're at the edge of a new destination of promised land that looks different. And the sign of all these things was the sell of the building.
Right.
That was like a kingpin, like a pinnacle event that is tangible for everybody to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what Apostle Rian's referring to is a prophetic word that he gave for myself, for my church. And I won't get into the whole thing, but there is a portion of it that says, and after this, after this, there's an event after this, in 30 days, that building would be sold. So when the building was finalized, Apostle Reno was with us, which is, again, just another prophetic statement.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't plan it this way at all, but it finalized with him here. And we took the date that it was completely final, did the math, so to speak, and we were at day 26 or 27, something like that.
Sure.
3 days to spare.
Yeah.
It's very similar, not that I'm trying to say this is on the same level, but similar, that there was a prophecy given about the birth of Jesus. Let me back up. There was one about the birth of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. And he was born about 3 years before before the timeline would have been over. So he was within that prophecy about when he would be born. But Jesus even spoke about the destruction of the temple that we know is in 70 AD. And he said in a prophecy about the destruction of the temple, you know, stone wouldn't be left upon stone and all that. And then he says, this generation, he was speaking to this generation, he said, this generation will see all these things. And a generation, biblically speaking, is 40.
40 years, yeah.
It was about 38 years from the time he gave that prophecy to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, fulfilling it. Now, many people have squabbled over that, thinking it could have happened at any time, but once it started, that particular generation would see all those things come to pass. And sometimes, I'm not saying this to say that doesn't happen, because sometimes it does. There's specific things sometimes that set off portions of prophecy.
Sure.
And in this case, what we just dealt with, it wasn't 30 days from the time you gave the word.
No.
Because in the word, after these things.
Yes.
So there was something unique that had to happen that would kickstart that 30-day process. And then the selling of the building was the final sign that now, boom, not only is that portion done, but it established something and exactly. spoke to something.
Exactly.
But I know many people struggled with that 30-day portion. Mm. Oh, it's got to be 30 days from the time you gave the word. Well, that was never in the word.
Yeah.
And so anyways, we're dealing with this in this regard because ladies and gentlemen, whether you actually receive a prophetic word yourself from a prophet or a prophetic voice in the earth, or you're looking at scripture, understanding these things will help you have a better understanding of the word of God or God's, what am I trying to say? His view or his design, his desire for you. You know, like a prophet can come by and say something to the nature of, like, I'll use Jonah. God told Jonah, go tell these people in 40 days I'm gonna kill them, wipe them all out. Jonah didn't want to because he knew that they would repent and then God would relent. And guess what? When he finally got there, he said, 40 days, you're all going to be wiped out, all going to be wiped out because of your sin. They fasted, they prayed, and they repented, and God relented. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make Jonah a false prophet because it didn't happen in 40 days.
Sure.
Even though the word was 40 days, what it does is offsets that prophecy because mm-hmm. we know much later mm-hmm. God did wipe them out for sure. their sin because they went right back into it. So ladies and gentlemen, the reason at least I like to talk about these things is because sure. I have people sometimes that get bent up on certain things that they interpret on themselves.
Exactly.
And it's like, you can't. You got to interpret. You have to interpret it and look at it through the eyes of God and interpret with the heart of God.
Exactly.
Not the heart of man.
Yeah. And I know for a fact that back in the day when Kim Clement was still with us and he was prophesying, I mean, he prophesied some weird things. Even for me, it was like weird yeah. things. But he actually had a team that he called code breakers.
Yeah.
Because sometimes prophecy comes in code form, that you hear it, but you don't understand it.
Right.
And I'm just kind of like trying to extrapolate a little bit about the code in which the way the Lord was speaking with you guys, because your initial question was, so what is the Lord saying now going forward from after this? And we just touched on the sign, but part of the word was that God would, in a sense, reveal to you the promised land, and going back to the picture and the understanding of Joshua moving over, meaning that there is something regional.
Right.
And I do believe I did say that God has chosen you for the region. And if you think of it, here is Joshua coming in into a whole new region, but yet God has chosen Joshua because that region belonged to them now. And in a sense, they had to take Jericho and Ai and all these different, and then the five kings and then the rest of the land. So there was a little bit of warfare involved in taking the promised land. But the symbolism of the region, like, listen, I'm giving you something, you're crossing over, and I am with you, I'm preparing the way. So these are, again, how can I say, like reference points. It's not really thus saith the Lord to you with a exact date, like tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, you're going to go there. But it's a mindset understanding of, okay, the Lord is shifting us into something new, something that we haven't mm-hmm. done before. It is going to be regional, meaning it is not just in my house. It will affect the area right. around me. And we are taking over that at times might have belonged to somebody else.
Right.
And again, you know, if we want to dare and venture to the seven mountains, for the most part, the seven mountains, they belong to the enemy because the church gave it away.
Yeah.
But we need to understand that God's desire for that specific word is, I want you to take over and be in control and be in authority in a new place. And I can't help to think back of you guys having a new church, new mm-hmm. church building, moving into the new, crossing over from the old,
right.
and laying hold of the region, and not just territorial, but regional.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's when I say funny, I don't mean ha-ha funny, ladies and gentlemen. I just mean funny in the sense of capturing on something, because this really was, at least for us, likened to coming out of Egypt. And I think I made that analogy just a few days ago, that our old building, it was a great building, ladies and gentlemen, and I have nothing against it in any way. It was our Egypt. And what I mean by that is the people of God, the Hebrew people, went into Egypt. It was a blessing because it was a place where they were sustained, and they grew. They became very prosperous. God blessed them there. Problem was, they stayed too long. For whatever reason, they just were there too long. And then the people of Egypt started seeing them growing and prospering, going, hey, these people, if they ever wanted to like wipe us out, it would be no problem for them. Look how many of them are. Look how strong they are. Look how quick, all that. They had everything going for them. But that wasn't their promise. Mm-hmm. And so getting out, you know, it was difficult for them to get out, because sure, Pharaoh wouldn't let them go, all the 10 plagues. When they finally got out, so God was able to get them out of Egypt, which was difficult.
Sure.
Not for God, but for the people. But was even more difficult, he couldn't get Egypt out of them.
Yeah.
And so they went into the wilderness wandering. And then finally, the next generation was able to go into the promised land. So anyways, that's all for analogy's sake, ladies and gentlemen. So we came out of our Egypt, so to speak, a place that was very much of a blessing, but it became less of a blessing when it was difficult to sell it. There was those who wanted to go back to the simpler, smaller church, all of that. And God love them. You know, it was a great place, but God was moving us to our promised.
Exactly.
So there was that process of not just getting it sold and off of our shoulders in the natural, but getting it off our shoulders in the spirit. Mm. So we didn't carry our Egypt or Egypt mentality into this new place. Mm. And so that was a huge process. And for some, it didn't go so good. But for others, you know, others jumped into it. Like, I'm like, sure, Hey, let's go. Mm. Milk and honey, you know.
Exactly.
So,
interesting thought as you were speaking about that analogy is, obviously, you know, with the warfare that we experienced, and specifically, if I dare say, water spirits, Leviathan spirits, those type of things.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of, again, of Egypt and Pharaoh. I mean, Pharaoh basically went to worship them water spirits every morning. That's why Moses went out and met him there at the water. And that's kind of like where all the friction took place, and the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And it just kind of like sparked a thought now as you were talking to me, like, I see. So getting out of that Egypt thing, the strong man was basically that Pharaoh spirit.
Yeah.
Of control, of not wanting the people to worship God in the way they felt God said they should go.
Right.
That is, you know, so it's fascinating to see the thing. And then obviously the retaliation afterwards of like, listen, they have left, but it's like they can't let go. We can't let them go.
Yeah.
We have to follow them and persecute them.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, that analogy.
It is all the way around, because I didn't even put that together until I had actually just read this a couple of weeks ago, how, you're right, Moses initially met with Pharaoh at the Nile River. Mm-hmm. And the Nile, ladies and gentlemen, if you know, I think most of you know, is in Egypt. And the Nile River itself at that time period was worshipped. Mm-hmm. The crocodiles in that river were worshipped.
Sure.
And it's a place of pagan worship and false worship of the water spirit. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this, ladies and gentlemen, and this is just a side note for all of you. When you have a reoccurring kind of theme, let's say a problem, but it's reoccurring, and it may not be the exact same problem, but they're associated. I'll give you an example. One of the issues that we had with the building that we left, it was a great building and everything, but when we first moved in, we renovated the whole place. And we just got settled after a major renovation, and we had a major flood. One of the pipes broke underneath the foundation, flooded the entire place, and we had to have the whole place gutted out and then redone a second time. Then we had several smaller issues, and they were not, other than that big major flood, none of them were real huge, but they were still issues that caused us some problems. Like, one, it was in escrow at one point, And the people pulled out of escrow didn't want it anymore because they thought the water bill was too high. It's funny. The water bill was too high. So we had a plumber come in and check. He found a few small leaks outside. But, you know, when nobody's in there and it's just continuing leaking, it runs the water bill up. Got them all fixed. And it dropped the usage down, which dropped the water bill down. And then they said, what happened? It went down so fast. What'd you guys do? It was like this weird thing. But again, associated with water. We had several issues. And then the day it was supposed, literally, ladies and gentlemen, the day it was supposed to close, the water heater starts heating. And we had to have a plumber come back in and give them a brand new water heater and fix that. Nothing super major, but it's water. So we were, my wife and I were praying about it. What's going on? How come we can't get rid of this building? And we started to realize the Holy Spirit starts reminding us all the issues with water. Well, it turns out that we were dealing with another subject that I didn't think was connected. Mm-hmm. And the Lord revealed to us it's a Leviathan spirit. Now, if you understand the Leviathan from the Bible, it twists, so it twists truth. It's very arrogant, very proud. I believe it's even called the father of pride. It stirs up and muddies the water. And it was a great analogy in this sense of all the things that we were going through. The prophecy that Apostle Rion gave us, the waters of that prophecy were being muddied with confusion, mm-hmm. and was being twisted by some trying to make it say something it didn't say. And they were very arrogant and proud about it. And it was just this whole thing. So we started connecting the dots. I know we should have been able to connect the dots months sooner, but we were connecting the dots. We were dealing with all these water issues with that property. One of the reasons why it was so difficult to sell, for silly reasons, and we're dealing with a Leviathan water spirit. Mm-hmm. So I said all that to say this. So if you have something reoccurring like water issues or things of that nature, there's often, sometimes it's just, you know, things wear out. If it was only a leaky water heater and we got it fixed, I wouldn't think too much of it because things wear out. But when it's one thing after another thing and all associated with the water, then You have to kind of take notice of that and say, Lord, what is going on here? What is behind this? Mm-hmm. That we have this reoccurring similar, again, maybe not the exact same thing, but similar. You know, it's like if you have three cars, and just systematically there's a nail in this tire, you get it fixed, and then a screw in another tire, you get it fixed, and then your other car has something leaking that tire, and at some point, you have to take notice if it's just like a reoccurring thing and no real reason why. Sometimes it's the enemy messing with you, and you take it to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I need to pray about, or what do I need to break? Mm-hmm. So when we finally were able to put all those, you know, connect all the dots, my wife and I just started hammering that thing, and then lo and behold, the building sold, and the people that bought it got a great building with a new water heater, new water pipes, new all of that good stuff, because we took care of those issues as well. But it ended up being a win-win, but we had to go after the right thing in the right way.
Exactly. And a little off the topic, but I so appreciate that you say you fix everything, because that's kind of like the baseline. You know, if you're going to do something, make sure it's right. Mm-hmm. If you're going to bless somebody with something, make sure it's good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's no point giving them something broken, so...
Oh no, they got brand new pipes, because when the first leak happened, we had to fix it. We just repiped the entire place. You know, when the water heater started leaking, we could have just put a little patch on it and walked away. Brand new water heater. So they're good to go.
Awesome. Yeah, so in a sense, you know, if you start looking at signs and you start looking at prophetic words and you start applying them, it is a bit of a mystery. And I think God kind of like does that purposefully, so it will bring us to a place and a platform where we come back to Him continually, mm-hmm. having to seek Him, because, you know, we as human beings at nature like to have it the easiest way possible.
Yeah.
And if everything is fine, you know, you might not seek the Lord as you would as like when it's a mystery.
Right.
It's just the way nature we are.
Yeah.
And God wants us close to Him, and at the same time, there is something else on the other hand of that spectrum, And that is kind of like, I always want to use the word hostile jamming, mm-hmm. because when you're speaking on this tone and this measure, and you're speaking about kind of like information technology, mm-hmm. and God is sending a message to you, He's going to send it to you in such a way that the enemy cannot stop it, cannot pervert it, cannot change it.
Right.
And I do think that's part of the reason why God sometimes speak in almost cryptic, yeah. that you can go back, that you will know, because when that revelation hits you, you know that you know that you know.
Yeah.
It's like when we were drinking this root beer. We are saying, hey, it's good. We are saying it's great.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's smooth. But the moment you yourself go out, you buy it and you drink it, then it's going to hit you as well. Like, it is what they said.
Yeah.
And so sometimes God can tell you, this is the way. But unless that revelation rises within you, mm-hmm. there will always be a little unsure, uncertainty. Now, in your mind, you might say, yeah, I'm following the Lord. But if your whole being doesn't know it,
right.
And these mysteries, these signs, these wonders, they've got a way of communicating to every part of your being so that, I mean, you know today without a shadow of a doubt, the 30 days. You know today without a shadow of a doubt it's Leviathan. Yeah. I can try and tell you, no, it wasn't Leviathan, it was this thing, that thing. You would just shut it down because you know that you know. Right. It is. It is what it is. And I think that is coming full circle back to faith, because God wants us to have that absolute faith, knowing that what is the scripture that He says, that it's only faith that pleases Him,
mm-hmm.
and having that pleasable faith residing in us and following after Him,
right.
in the midst of, because many times we don't know where we're going,
right?
But yet that faith inside will say, this is the right way.
Yeah. And there's so much to unpack here. And ladies and gentlemen, we're discussing these things because, well, many of you, we've never even met face to face. You're somewhere on the other side of the United States, maybe Texas, maybe New York, or in another country. I have listeners literally all over the world. So this isn't like a pat on our back. So for those of us that are right here, this is so that you could also learn and be aware of some of these things. As I've said in my other episodes and such, I might be talking about something local here in Lancaster or California or about the United States. You might think, well, what does that have to do with me if I'm in France or Germany or something of that nature? Because the principles remain the same. The principles are the same. And same thing with the prophetic and such, and the ministry. We experience some things, and you know, the principles, right and wrong, remain the same, so that at some point, ladies and gentlemen, let's say for those of you who are in France, you receive a prophetic word through a prophet, and Paul told Timothy to use those prophecies as a weapon of war against the enemy. Because the enemy is going to try to come in, like the parable of the seeds and the little birds that try to come in, take the seed of the word, that's a seed, and you're going to have to do some warfare over it. And we certainly had to. So we're talking about these things. It's unique to what I experienced, what Apostle Rion experienced, but at the same time, the principles remain the same. You're going to have to figure out the full interpretation, and unfortunately, sometimes you don't know the full interpretation of it until after it's been fulfilled. And you can look at it, and it's like, you know, how they say hindsight is 20/20. You have clear vision of the things that you just passed, mm-hmm. but not so clear vision of the things that aren't even here yet. Mm-hmm. And that's the way this kind of thing worked out in many ways. It was still very, very accurate, very clear in many ways. But there was also things that was like, aha. It was one of those aha moments. And especially for people that it wasn't unique to them. I had no problem with the word at all. And even the way it was working out and walking through it, I had a deeper understanding because the word was primarily for me, my church as well, but primarily for me. But other people that heard it, that it wasn't for them or they weren't part of it, had these big problems with it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So it's the same thing. Remember, when Jesus showed up on the scene, you know, the Bible prophesies exactly when He would show up.
Yes.
The year and even where.
Yes.
the very people that should have known and been ready for him missed it. Was people from the East, the Magi from the East, that picked it up and understood it and had to travel. I don't know how many miles that is, but that's a long way to go walking to get somewhere. They had to travel to get to see the promised one that they knew from scriptures what would have been the Messiah, the king. And the very ones there in his own hometown and in his very home country that should have been waiting for him, they're scratching their heads going, oh, wait, is that in there? Well, you've had the scriptures, same scriptures. You've read them. You teach them. Mm-hmm. How come you weren't ready for them?
Exactly.
And it's the same thing. So it was, the word was really for everybody, but there's something about, even though it's for everybody, biblically I'm speaking, it's for everybody, but it's spiritually discerned.
Exactly.
So when people look at the word of God through carnal eyes, they're going to have carnal interpretations. If they look at it through eyes of the spirit, they'll get to the meat of it, and they'll be willing to make the trek across the desert to find the promised one. And it's the same thing in this. I was looking at this as much as I could, going through what we were going through, doing my best to look at it through spiritual eyes and hold on to the spirit of the word, where others were looking at it through carnal eyes and twisted it like a Leviathan, twisted the truth, twisted the words, didn't fully understand it, but acted like they understood it. And I was sitting back, and even I said, this is going to play out, and I know it will, because I knew the building was going to sell. And again, afterwards, just for our own satisfaction, I pulled out my little calendar on my phone, and I counted back 30 days from the time it was finalized. And for us as a church, we celebrated Passover, because I think I talked about it, ladies and gentlemen, but this year we had two Passovers and two Pentecosts, because of the uniqueness in the calendars. And they're very big for us in our church and the celebration and what it represents. So we counted back, and it was 26, 27 days from Pentecost. And that was big for us.
Sure.
And not only just Pentecost, because I don't have time to explain it, but the way our Western calendar and the way the Hebrew calendar landed. On the Western calendar, there was two Passovers, 1 month apart. Isn't that interesting? 30 days apart.
Exactly.
And then two Pentecosts, again, 1 month apart. Mm-hmm. And we always go on those feasts, because they're biblical feasts, with the biblical Jewish calendar.
Exactly.
26, 27 days from Shavuot, which is Pentecost on the Jewish calendar, the building was sold.
Hallelujah.
And it was important to us. That's why I say prophecy is unique to the receiver, not even the prophet. That's why it's like, I don't even try to remember what I prophesy to people, because it's not to, for me, it's not to me. I'm just telling you what I feel God is saying, and it's up to you. You know, it's up to the receiver. So in that, ladies and gentlemen, I said all that hopefully as kind of a teaching tool for you when you receive a word. If you receive the word, it's unique to you. And it doesn't mean you can just come up with any interpretation, but you'll have a greater understanding of the interpretation than the guy that it's not for. So you're going to, I totally cut Apostle off.
No, you got my mind racing here, and I'm thinking so many things. And again, you know, kind of like just a final analogy, if you look at Pentecost, which was the birthing of the church, outpour of Holy Spirit, and then the church actually
said
it. And from the birthing of the church,
uh-huh.
God did it within 30 days. And that's just like blows my mind right now.
And see, that's what I mean by being unique to the receiver, because we just went in, and it really was. As a matter of fact, we had our Christian International City Tour come through our church literally on the very first day, our first day that we were in the building, our new building. It was actually my birthday, it was a great gift from God. And we had our CI conference there.
Yep.
And Apostle Candy McAlpine, gave a word. It's interesting, because that God was not just starting a new chapter, but he slammed that book shut and was starting a new book. What are you laughing at? No, I know what you're laughing at. Don't say it.
I just can't help myself.
He slammed it.
Yeah. But again, you know, if you splice those things together from a encoded message, you know, birth, they birth
yeah.
church, birthing of the church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Putting it together as a like a gift, a package deal. Yeah. It's fascinating.
And so with our new, it's not just because we have a new building per se. It's because we have this new, I'll use the analogy or the wording from Candy's prophecy, a new book that is now being penned by the hand of God.
Exactly.
So it's very much new.
So based on all of that, what you were saying, there's a scripture that God says in Isaiah that says, behold, I'm doing something new.
Yes.
Meaning that, where are you guys going? Something new.
It's something
what
new.
Is God doing? Something new.
Something new.
And I think that is the take that I have on the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the buildings, all these things. God is doing something new.
And it's interesting that this year we had, again, two, and this is on the calendar. With God, we only had one. But on the calendar, we had two Passovers and two Pentecosts. So I look at it like this. You know, this is just, thus saith Rob. Mm-hmm. You had the Passover of the flesh and then the Passover of the spirit. Then you had the Pentecost, the birthing of the church in the flesh, and the birthing of the church in the spirit. And it's interesting to me that both of those were on the calendar this year. Not that it was necessarily quote-unquote carnal, but it's to me it's like the relationship between Passover and Pentecost is, you know, the salvation coming out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, mm-hmm. coming out of that place where it's like it may have started good, but it's not good anymore. You got to get out. And coming into the place where, because on Pentecost, according to the Shavuot, the Old Testament, that's where Moses received the word on the mountain. And then in the New Testament, that's where Holy Spirit was poured out into the believers. Mm-hmm. So it even has that dual, it's interesting, it has those dual meetings.
Yeah.
And we had two of those. Mm-hmm. And so because we were in the flesh in the sense of a mm-hmm. physical building.
Exactly.
The first Pentecost.
Yes.
But now we are really launching in the spirit.
Yeah.
And 30 days from that, the other building was sold, which was like another weight off our shoulders, exactly. So we can just run.
Yeah.
So ladies and gentlemen, when you begin to break it down and understand it mm-hmm. from that vantage point of what we were going through and how God was processing all of this, mm-hmm. the prophetic word from Apostle Rion was scary accurate. Scary accurate. Mm-hmm. And when I say scary, I just mean like fear the Lord kind of accurate. Right. You don't want to, you know, the type of thing, fear the Lord kind of accurate that you don't touch. Mm-hmm. You honor and respect, not just the man that gave the word, but especially the Lord from where that word originated. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
As a matter of fact, I have right here, it's interesting because on this, there's a lot of people that treat prophecy almost like fortune telling.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And it's so, oh, no, ladies and gentlemen, it is not, do not run to your psychic and think you're doing good by God. No, this is a true word of the Lord, not an opinion from some demonized person.
Exactly.
This is why God says something like this. He says, this is in 1 Chronicles 16, 22 and 23, do not touch my anointed ones. No, let me back up to verse 21. He says, let no one oppress them. He disciplined kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones. Don't harm my prophets. This is key because Apostle Rion brought up Kim Clement. I remember back in the day, I would go to a lot of Kim Clement meetings, and I had a chance to meet him. Knew some of the people very well that were very close to him. And his prophecies often were very obscure. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people came against Kim Clement, called him false prophet, called him, said that he was off. I remember somebody said to me one time, you know, Kim Clement, when he's on, he's really on. But when he's off, he's really off. Mm-hmm. And it never, even though some of his prophecies, I didn't understand because they were very obscure. But I knew enough not to touch that.
Exactly.
You know, because if he's really on, mm-hmm. that means God's with him. Mm-hmm. And if it seems like he's really off, maybe I'm really off.
Exactly.
And so I wouldn't touch it, thank God. But now back to your word, it's clear here. When somebody, you don't understand a prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, or even if you don't agree with it, I suggest highly you still take a hands-off approach. Mm-hmm. Because if that prophecy wasn't directly to you, It doesn't matter whether you understand it or not.
It's actually none of your business then.
Yeah. Mm. Really. I've given some of the strangest words because I just give what I see.
Exactly.
I remember, okay, I'll give you an example, ladies and gentlemen, and a long time, this is a long time ago. There's a older lady that I was ministering to, and the word of the Lord popped up in me, and I didn't want to give it to her because of what I thought it meant.
Exactly.
And the word of the Lord was simple. The silent killer will not kill you.
Wow.
Okay, now that may not seem like a big deal, but when you're an elderly lady, and somebody says the silent killer won't kill you, a lot of people only hear the silent killer part.
Wow.
Like, I better run to the doctor and get checked out. I'm sick. So it was so strong on me, super simple, but it was so strong on me. So I said, listen, I'm going to give you this word. And I told her. She started rejoicing.
Wow.
She started literally dancing in front of me, jumping up and down and shouting. And I said, oh, okay, I'm glad I gave it, but what does that mean to you? And she says, she was a nurse. I didn't know she was a nurse. But she was a nurse, and she started feeling certain things in her body that she thought she recognized as something much
worse.
Mm-hmm. And she literally told me, I'm a nurse. I see what goes on in hospitals. I refuse to go to a hospital. I refuse to go to a doctor. So anything that would kill me would be a silent killer.
Wow.
I had no idea of any of that. I, you know, because silent killer is often, you know, is often one of those diseases that goes undetected until it's too late. So exactly. I'm like, I don't want to give her this because I don't want her walking out of here thinking that she has something that otherwise would kill her. Exactly. Even though it had a good ending, mm-hmm. but a lot of people can't see a lot of people don't understand the ending. Mm-hmm. And I said that for emphasis, ladies and gentlemen. But she rejoiced because it was exactly what she needed to know, mm-hmm. that she was feeling some things, but it wasn't what she thought it was going
Wonderful. To be. Something that popped in my mind as you were speaking about the twos and the twos and the double, I don't want to say double portion, but there is something when Jesus opened his mouth and he spoke something that was so truthful that he wanted to not just say it, but lock it down, mm-hmm. in a sense that this is worthy of note to pay attention. He would use the word verily, verily.
Yeah.
The double.
Yeah.
Saying it twice.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of this past year that everything technically happened twice.
Yeah.
And so I realized from the understanding of that truth, excuse me, from that truth that God really means business with you guys.
Yeah.
He won't send me from all the way around the world to bring the word.
Right.
And then in the midst of it, bring the fulfillment of the word.
Right.
As if I had some superpower to do so. I'm just saying it's humanly impossible. And then God basically is saying, listen, I'm doing these things to show you what I'm planning with you guys. Verily, verily.
Yeah.
It is as sure as you can be. You can take it to the bank.
So it's going to happen. So the two Passovers that we celebrated, if you will, mm-hmm. verily, verily.
Verily, verily.
The two Pentecosts, verily, verily.
Verily, verily.
The mountain giving the word and the upper room giving the Holy Spirit, verily, verily.
Exactly.
And I look at all of those as signs. We started mm-hmm. talking about signs of what God is doing in the house. And this is one reason why we had to be out of our personal Egypt
exactly.
into a place of promise and expansion so that the verily, verily can work itself out to its fullest. Mm-hmm. Because even though it was a great building over there, it wouldn't contain what God said we were about.
Exactly.
And it was a great launch-off point, but now we're where God wants us. And all hell breaks loose. So that tells me we're in a great place.
Hallelujah.
And that's another thing, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't like to say this to people because I don't want to disparage anything good. But also understand, when you know that you're in spiritual warfare and you know you're being attacked by the enemy, I'm not saying it's easy, but just at least understand that you must be doing something right for the enemy to be so bent out of shape over it. It's like the birth of Jesus. The powers that be started killing all the babies, hoping to kill that future king of Israel, Jesus. Moses at that time, Pharaoh gets scared of the strength of the people, starts killing all the babies.
And offering them as living sacrifices to Leviathan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tossing them in the river mm-hmm. for those crocodiles to mm-hmm. eat. And that is a sacrifice to that Leviathan spirit. Mm-hmm. So it's just all really interesting about this. So I'm not telling you that to be afraid of prophecy or the move of God in your life. It's just the exact opposite. But to bring some understanding so that when these things do start hitting you and you know you didn't bring it, it's not necessarily, it might be through people, but it's not just flesh and blood that you're dealing with. It's truly in Ephesians 6, you are wrestling against these powers and principalities. At least in that you can rejoice knowing that you are in good company and you're doing something powerful and God's got you and you will get through this. So don't give up. Don't back off on your promises. Don't back off on the Lord. Just keep pressing through because you're going through that for a purpose and a reason and a good, ultimately a good purpose and a good reason. And even in that, God's showing you something, pruning things out of your life and preparing you for what's to come.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much. I think that is such a great analogy. And just to, for again, like you said, this is not unique to us as just here in Lancaster, but every child of God, because everybody goes through a phase where you are not sure what is God doing, or you're not sure about the word, or not sure about where you're going, and just, you know, kind of like riding that wave, go through the motion of what God is doing, because ultimately, God has got your back. God is not in it to harm you. He says, you know, I know the plans that I have for you. It's plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Yeah. So when at times it feels like, wow, this is harming me, just understand, just go through it because it's not the intention of God. God wants you on the other side looking better than you ever did, having more fruit than you ever did. It's like pruning. You know, why does God prune us? So we can bear more fruit. And that's what God is about. He's outcome-based.
Yeah.
He's looking at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just thinking of that. There's that passage, the parable about how Father God himself will go and prune the vine, where Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and he starts pruning us to bring more fruit. And this is Father doing this.
Exactly.
And pruning, I'm sure, you know, would hurt, and it does.
Yeah.
But it's life-giving.
Absolutely.
It's cleansing in the sense of cutting away anything that would hinder growth, fruitfulness, prosperity, health, all of that. But you have to go through the process. And nobody likes the process. I hate the process. But I love the glory on the other side of the process.
Absolutely.
Like, just a testimony, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we're being purposely vague on some issues. But we went through kind of a type of pruning in the church. And ever since that, we've had people not just visiting. We've had new people coming in and filling the church since then. We had virtually very little, if any, real growth for a long time. Got hit, and now God is bringing the growth, and it fits that parable and that story beautifully. We went through a type of pruning that we didn't want to go through, but it opened the door and created even more growth. And last night, Pastor Rion was preaching and speaking at the church, doing some ministry, and I'm telling you, we had such a phenomenal, fantastic, eclectic group of people. Mm-hmm. There's no way that I ever could have in myself brought these people together. And the word was awesome, and the ministry was powerful.
Yeah,
I mean, it was really powerful. And even Sunday, a lot of people got delivered and healed, and a great thing was launched in the church because we weren't trying to grow through non-producing branches.
Amen.
Those had been removed, and now it's just a pure flow of Holy Spirit empowering us and causing the growth. And it's all God, you know, because when it comes to church growth and stuff like that, Lord, everybody, I'm the worst at it, but God's phenomenal at it.
Absolutely.
So I'm having a good time with all of this. I know other people aren't. I'm having a good time, not moment by moment,
no,
but when I can take a step back and look at it big picture, I'm like, this is beautiful. This is awesome.
Yeah, they say hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah.
So it helps that we're on the other side of this now.
Yeah, and I'm even going to prophesy that my hair will grow back.
Yeah, that's funny.
You know, I better not joke about that because, you know, a year from now, I'll still be bald and somebody will call me a false prophet. I was a joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
I'm okay. I just want everybody to understand that was a joke. My wife would hope that I wasn't joking. As a matter of fact, my wife just stepped in the door with that look on her face like, what did you do wrong?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Uh-huh. It's okay. She didn't even say anything. She just walked by menacingly.
Wow. I'll pray for you.
don't leave, because once you're gone, I might be too. She's an awesome lady, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
So, yeah, sir, thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it, and thank you for having me back in your house, your church, your fellowship, and it's always good. And just so that everybody can know that there is always a welcoming in South Africa for you, for your church, your ministry. Yeah. There's always a welcoming around the world, wherever we travel. As a matter of fact, I have a suspicion that the Joshua and the Caleb generation that I think we represent,
yeah,
we're seriously about to step out into new places,
yeah,
take new land, having phenomenal growth.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be something fantastic. So yeah, just from my side, before I forget, thank you again so much. And may God bless you. And to the listeners, may God bless you. And I just want to quickly pray, praying over you, that you might have a prophecy. You don't know what to do with it. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, just help them understand it. Many people are holding on to prophecies. Mm-hmm. I'm so aware there are some people that received prophecies when they were young, and they haven't seen it yet fulfilled.
Yeah.
That they will hold on to, like Timothy, that they'll wage the good war of faith. Hold on to the word of God, because every word of God will come to pass. Not one will fail.
Right.
And so I just want to encourage you with that.
Absolutely. And thank you for that. Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, please don't be afraid of the prophetic. Because I know in a lot of churches, a lot of places, it's really frowned upon, it's taught against, it's a misaligned, all of this. It's just, and it's, the prophetic is a phenomenal spiritual gift and tool given to us by God. Now, with that said, you just don't want any knucklehead praying over you or prophesying over you.
Yes.
But when it's somebody that's got a good track record, like Apostle Rion, you can trust it. And you can run with it. So with that, thank you again, Apostle, for being with us all the way from South Africa. And we are certainly going to take you up on that. We're going to be in South Africa this year. And it really is going to be not just a turning of the page, but a whole new book. So I'm really excited to see what God has for all of us from this point on.
Awesome.
And this is truly, I almost feel like my ministry is starting completely over. In a real way, it is. But now going into it with all the wisdom and understanding that we've accumulated over the years. So it's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
So God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. And I know this, we're going to be able to do this again real soon. And at some point, we'll do this from South Africa. Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.